on. Move on. Parshas Veschanan contains within it Aseret HaDibrot, the proverbial Ten Commandments. Although there are 630 commandments, right? But there's 12 statements that Hashem made to us at Har Sinai, chapter 5, verse 6. Anoichi Hashem Alekecha. We're going to take a quick run through Aseret HaDibrot, and we'll stop by the commandment of honoring our parents. I am the Lord, your God, Asher Hoytzei Sicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who has taken you out of the land of Egypt, Mi'beis Avodim, from the house of slavery. Rashi doesn't comment on this. And the truth is that he will tell us in a moment that he has already commented on all of these things prior. The Rambam, in Pirush HaMishnayos, in Sanhedrin, he says that the Yesod HaRishon, the first foundation, to emuna, to belief in Hashem, to the knowledge that there is a God, is encapsulated in the words Anochi Hashem Alekecha, and that's how the book of Mishnah Torah begins as well. Ramban, in the book of Exodus, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us and commands us here how we should know and believe that God is primordial and precedes everything. The Ibn Ezra says that the first statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to the Jewish people, this is the primary foundation of everything. Everything rests on the notion that there is a God. He said all of the other 9 commandments that follow are essentially coming or flow from this one basic foundation. If there is no God, then there is nothing. Then it's simple. That's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So that's the foundation of it all. Now, God says to the Jewish people, the second commandment is that not only am I God, but the second commandment is Lo Yilecha Elohim Achedim. You shall not possess any other gods, any other people's idols or deities, al ponoi. Now, al ponoi literally means upon my face, but euphemistically it means as long as wherever I may be. Okay, wherever I may be is everywhere. So then, there's no room for idols. We have no place for that. Rashi says, in the words al ponoi, he says that this is, so to speak, as if before God's face, as if to say keneged ponoi. B'chol makam asher ani sham, any place that I'm there. V'zehu, and that is kol ha'olam, the entire universe, because God's presence fills the whole universe. Davar acher, another way of understanding this is it doesn't speak about space, but rather it speaks about what preceded space in creation, time. And time, it says, is called zman shani kayim. As long as I am, you can't have aseret ha'dibra, you can't have any other gods. Okay, which means never, because God is always. If God is always, there's no time and no space for idols, period. Rashi now notes, Aseret HaDibrot Kvar Pirashtim, the 10 statements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, I've already explained in Parshas Yisro, where it shows up the first time, and therefore Rashi will not be repeating himself a second time. As we know, Rashi does not repeat himself twice. Anything he said that's relevant and meaningful for the understanding of a particular verse, if it's been said already, he expects the child to remember what's been said last time, or go back and look, but he's not going to say it again. And so now we move through Aseret HaDibrot without the aid of Rashi here in the Parshas Veschanan and Deuteronomy, because Rashi has already shared his light and his elucidation prior. Leisasa l'cho fesel, do not make any carved or graven image. Kol temuna, any kind of picture. Asher b'shamayim mimal, any image which is on the heavens above. V'asher ba'oros mitochas, and that which is in the earth below. V'asher b'mayim mitochas l'oros, and that which might be in the water which is lower than the earth. So even if you don't intend to worship it, that in and of itself is a problem. Something interesting, in the first statement of Aseret HaDibrot in Parshas Yisrei, it says, Lesas lecha pesel vichol tmuna. There's a vav. And here it doesn't say vichol tmuna. Here it just says, Lesas lecha pesel kol tmuna. Don't make yourself in a graven image, an idol. And it says, a likeness, any kind of likeness. Kol tmuna, any kind of image or likeness. So the Baal HaTurim says something very interesting, that the Vav, the first time around, comes to include 6 possibilities. Idols usually are either male gods or female gods, where they use a human body, one of the genders. Or sometimes we use the shape or imagery of an animal. That's 3. Number 4 is a bird. People have worshipped birds or bird-like images. Number 5 is Remes. People over the ages have worshipped dragons or creepy crawlers. And finally, Tavnis Kol Dog, some people have worshipped the image or likeness of a fish. So that includes, the Baal Turim says, six different kinds of likeness which people used to worship, and that's why in the first time around, it says the words V'chol Pesel Vav has an numeric equivalent of six. Verse 9, you shall not prostrate yourself before them. You shall not worship them. Because I am the Lord your God. Kael Kano, a jealous God, so to speak, a zealous God. And when the Paikid Oven Ovis Albanim Val Shileshim Vyaribayim Lisoine, God says that I will remember the premeditated sins of fathers, their descendants, third and even up to the fourth generation who continue to worship idols. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will revisit upon them consequences, not only for their actions, but the actions of their parents, their grandparents, and even their great-grandparents. And as Rashi tells us, this is the idea of Mida Paronius, that evil and bad consequences can linger on for four generations, as long as Oiches B'maisi Avosav, as long as they continue to follow the path of folly. V'Oisa Chesed La'alofim, however, Hashem does kindness for 2,000 generations. And la'ayhavai, that's for those who love me, u'l'shayimrei mitzvayse, for those who observe my commandments. So we see that the 2,000 generations is out of those who serve Hashem out of love only is 1,000 generations. But la'ayhavai u'l'shayimrei, those who not only love Hashem, but there's a awe and there's a respect, there's a love and there's a commitment. When you have the full gamut of avodas Hashem, so then meruvu midat tova, the difference between that which is good and bad is that bad is four generations and good is 2,000 generations, which is basically repeats itself 500 times, 500 times greater. Okay, verse 11. We now move into the third commandment. Leisisa es shem Hashem elikecha lashav. Do not take the name of God in vain. Ki lo yinake Hashem es hasheyisa es shmei lashav. Because God will not absolve the person who swears by his name falsely. You'll notice that in verse 11, it says, swears by his name falsely, and then a second time, swears by his name falsely. Unkelus explains it simply. He says the first time means an empty oath. The second time means an oath in which you lie. So if a person swears for no reason, that would be a shvur shav. For example, if somebody said, I swear by God in the Torah that today it's morning now, not evening. Well, everybody knows it's morning. I swear by God that now is the summer. We know it's the summer. There's no point in doing that. The reason somebody would invoke God's name is because when he makes a statement which people don't know to be true, for example, a watch person says, I swear I did my best and executed my duties. I watched and cared for your object with every ounce of wherewithal. I discharged my responsibility appropriately. We say, how do we know that's true? Well, just trust me. So that's not good enough. You need to use Hashem's name. So that's when there's a positive mitzvah to use Hashem's name, when you want to demonstrate the veracity, the truth, the integrity that you claim and maintain to stand by. But when it comes to something which is a shvur shav, something which is pointless, why would you give an oath? And then there's another kind of shvur, and that is when a person actually lies. He says, I swear I did that, or I swear I will do that, and he didn't or has no intention of doing it and doesn't do it. Bishul Leib Diskin once said that if a person swears vainly, he'll end up swearing falsely. And that's kind of how one invariably will lead into the other. From here we go into the fourth commandment. The fourth mitzvah, the fourth mitzvah that Hashem told us about on Har Sinai, on that awesome day of Matan Torah, was Shabbat. Shamor es yom ha-Shabbat lekadsho. We should keep the day, or remember the day of Shabbat, guard it and keep it for its holiness, to keep it holy. Kasher tzivcha Hashem alekecha, as the Lord God has already commanded you. Okay. So Rashi immediately jumps on this and says, uh-oh, till now I told you, I already explained before. However, in the previous iteration of Aseret HaDibrot, it doesn't say Shomar, it doesn't say Zohar, it says Zohar. It doesn't say you should guard or keep, it says you should remember. So what happened here? We have a change. So Rashi says, why does it say Shomer uvarishonot? And in the first time, who Omer, he says, Zachar es yom ha-Shabbos. You should remember the Shabbos, keep it holy. What happened? Haha, the Bible critics love this. You see, it's written by different authors. Right, and the editor was too stupid to make a change. He was it just like flew right over his head that a word changed. So the editor couldn't figure that out. And only us geniuses in the 21st century, we figured out that the Bible is written by many different people who associated with the narratives. Chaman al-Tzlan. What stupidity is that? So what is the pshat? So Rashi says, this teaches us, Shneye bedibur echad uveteva achas nemru. Both of these were said, and both of these were actually verbalized, and it seems even maybe written in one word. So how does that work? We don't really know. Rashi talks about it the first time around. He says, Zachar v'shamer v'dibur echad emru. It said Zachar, it said Shamer, it said Shamer, it said Zachar. It said one word, and it was the same word, and both words, at the same time. And what does that mean? Rashi says, we don't know. Ein ha-peh yachal adabrei. We are not capable of doing that, of verbalizing that way. Ein ha-ezin yachal l'shamer. We're not capable of hearing things that way. But whatever it means, that's what happened. Kasher tzivcha, as God has commanded you, where? Is this referring to the first time around to the first Matan Torah? If it's referring to the first Matan Torah, why does it say Kasher Tzivcha by all of the different mitzvahs that are being spoken of here? Rashi says, that doesn't make any sense. Here it says Kasher Tzivcha. What does it mean Kasher Tzivcha here? This means Koidem Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, when the Jewish people camped at a place called Mara, the Mara. So in Mara, it says, they came to Mara, and Sham Sam Loi Chayk Umishpat, there he gave them statute and law of Isham Niso, and there he tested them. So in other words, our sages tell us that over there were many mitzvahs that were given to the Jewish people, and those mitzvahs, one of those mitzvahs was Shabbat, and the actual binding commandment doesn't come until Matan Torah. However, some of these mitzvahs are not new. Hashem says, Kasher Tzivcha, as I already have commanded you. What does it mean, L'kadshoi, to keep it holy? The Psaji Goen says, this is the mitzvah of Kiddush, as the Rambam says in Sefer the Mitzvahs as well. And the Torah says, on a very simple level, it means Shabbos has to be seen as holy in your eyes. If you will treat it as holy, it will be holy. But if you treat it as an ordinary day, then forget about it. Rabbi Kotlarski always says he met a Yid, and the Yid said, my father called it the Helika Shabbos. He says, I call it Shabbos. My children call it Shabbat. My grandchildren call it the weekend. Right? So it has to be Shabbos Kodesh. It has to be the Helika Shabbos. Don't take off the Kodesh part. So remember to keep it holy in your mind, says the Torah. And when you're Zachar and Shomer, it's Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoi, when it's the Helika Shabbos, it's Shabbos Kodesh, then we have Shabbos being done right. Sheishes Yomim Tavei. So what do you do for Shabbos? For 6 days you labor, 6 days you work, V'asisa Kol Malachtecha, you have done all of the work which is necessary. And then only after that happens, Aviyim HaShvi, so then you appreciate the seventh day, it's Shabbos L'Hashem Elikecha, then it's a day of cessation, of peace, for Hashem your God, L'Sasa Chol Malacha, no work is to be done then, Ata you, Uvincha, and your son, Vitecha, and your daughter, as well as Avdecha and Amasecha, your bondsmen and bondswoman, V'Shorcha V'Chamercha, and your ox, and even your donkey, V'Chol Behemtecha, and all of your animals. And this includes even the proselyte who is living amongst your people, amongst your nation. So here we have this idea that everybody around us must keep Shabbos. Now, what does that mean, though? After all, an animal is not obligated to keep Shabbos. An animal is not Jewish. How can an animal be obligated to keep Shabbos? Why is a ger teshuv obligated to keep Shabbos? It means they can't do things for you. You can load up your animal, have your animal schlep for you, and really the notion that somebody's not Jewish could do work for you is wrong-headed. Sometimes there are things that can be done by a Gentile, but as a rule, things cannot be done for you on Shabbos, not yourself, nor by somebody else. Certainly not. Some people say, oh, don't worry, Rabbi, I'm not Shomer Shabbat, I can do it for you. Or, hey, you're not Shomer Shabbat, can you do this? That's totally wrong-headed, that's ridiculous. Every single Jew is obligated in Shabbat the same way. We go further, we say, even to have animals doing work for you, even to have other people doing work for you, who are not Jewish, if they're doing it for you, this is not permitted. So all of this is part of keeping the Shabbat holy, the Zacharta, and in keeping Shabbat holy, you will remember, Ki Eved Hayita, that you were once a slave. Where? Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. Ve'yetziyecha Hashem Elokecha, Misham, God took you out of there. Be'ad Chazoko, V'zarei Netuya, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And all of this is on the condition that La'asai Sasiyem HaShabbos, Hashem did this in order that you, Al-Kain Sivcha, therefore I command you, Hashem says, Hashem Elokecha, the Lord your God, that you should La'asai Sasiyem HaShabbos, that you should make and observe the day of Shabbos. So this is a very, very important verse. V'zacharta ki eved hayita. We see here, we're getting like a reason. Why should you keep the Shabbos? And you should remember that you were a slave in Mitzrayim. Rashi says, amenas kein pedacha. What that means to say is, the reason it's being given is not, this is why you should rest on Shabbos. So I was a slave. That's why I have to rest on Shabbos now? What is the connection? So it's obviously there is no connection. You cannot say, I have to rest because I was a slave in Mitzrayim. But what I could say is, Amenas kein pida'acha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is the condition upon which I took you out. I took you out on the condition that you will keep Shabbos. Shati Eloi Eved V'tishna Mitzvesef. I took you out of the servitude of Mitzrayim in order that you should be his servant, says God. What does God want from you? To be his servant? Don't work. Not work, don't work. When? On Shabbos. Everybody suddenly wants to work on Shabbos. They're lazy a whole week of Shabbos, they want to work. Don't work on Shabbos. And this is also, Ka'asher Tzivcha, as I have commanded you. Where does it say this? Where did Hashem come? That's not the next verse. And now we're coming up to today's verse. This is what people want to know. How do I get a long life? Says the Torah. And now we're going to read the fifth commandment, the fifth mitzvah that was given to us at Har Sinai. You must give honor to your father and your mother, as the Lord God has already commanded you. And you'll do so, l'man, in order, that your days will be lengthened, in order it will be good for you. Things will go well with you. On the land that the Lord God gives you, is giving you. Very interesting. So here, first of all, we have, once again, Ka'asher Tzivcha, as you have commanded. Rashi says, Af al kibadav ein netzdava b'mara. Yeah, this is another one of the mitzvahs at Har Sinai that had already been given at Mara. So God says, not a new mitzvah. You heard about this one already. At Mara, I already talked about the mitzvah of showing respect to your parents. Shenemar, as it says, Sham sam loy chayk. Umishpat. There were chukim and mishpatim. Certain things which we don't necessarily understand, we do because Hashem told us certain things which are logical, rational, they have rhyme and reason. Honoring parents is one of them. So this is the mitzvah of honoring the parents, for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Yarichon Yomecha, that you will have a long life. Where does it? Ramban has a different approach in Kashya Tzivcha. He says, as God has commanded you. Where did God command me? He says, here is different. God commanded you to honor God. And since your parents are partners with God in your creation, therefore, in the same way you have to honor God, you have to honor your parents as well. And you'll do so, lema'an. Here it's not al-manas kein. It's not, you cannot interpret this as conditional, but rather, you'll interpret this as, if you'll do so, this is the segula. Then this is the prohibition that's attached to honoring our parents. This idea of erech yamim. The Orach Chaim says that there are many mitzvahs that have different segulot, different propitions attached to them. And he says the segula, the reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has attached to the mitzvah of honoring parents is length of days, a long life. Okay, so now let's analyze this and let's try to understand whether this is literal, not literal. Incidentally, it doesn't say a long life, it says days will be lengthened. So if Hashem promised somebody 50 years, or they were supposed to have 50 years in the honor of their parents, maybe they'll have 55 years. If Hashem was going to give somebody 80 years in the honor of their parents, maybe they'll get 82 years. I don't know. But the Rebbe points out that there is a similar promise in the Torah, and it's in the same book a little bit later. But when you look at the promise that's later on in the Torah, and you go back to the promise here, you'll see that a profound difficulty develops. Turn to page Nun Ches, which would be the equivalent to 58, Simin Yud, in Parshas Veschanon. Havtocha doima. The Rebbe begins his analysis by telling us that there is a similar promise and guarantee that's found in Parshas Kitzeitze. And it's with regard to the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, that it says you send away the mother bird before you take the offspring, eggs or little chicks. And there it says, L'man yitavloch, so that it'll be good for you, V'ha'arachta yomim, and you will have length of days. So it's backwards. Here it says, so you'll have long days and Hashem will be good to you. There it says, So on this very statement, in this very verse, the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Chulin, what about a mitzvah that's basically the cost of a nickel? What's the big deal? The cost of a dime. Take a bird and float, what does it take you? Even if you're a fancy lawyer, you make $1,000 an hour. So how much time did it take you? Okay, for you, it's a quarter. It's like I say, on a dime. It's on a dime. You just take a bird and throw it. And Amra, the Torah says, L'man yitav loch, so that it'll be good for you, v'harachta yomim, and you'll have length of days, says the Mishnah, kal v'chaymer, how much more so, on mitzvahs chamuris shebetera, on the heavy mitzvahs of the Torah, the stringent mitzvahs of the Torah, the difficult, challenging, onerous mitzvahs of the Torah, and God knows there are many challenging, difficult, onerous mitzvahs, throwing away a mother bird, not so onerous, not so challenging, not such a big deal, and the Torah comes along and promises you long life. So the Mishnah says, why is long life for such a simple mitzvah, for a mitzvah that's on a dime? And the Mishnah's answer is, can you imagine if even a mitzvah that costs you a dime, a mitzvah like that, you're going to get long life? Kal v'chaymer, how much more so when it's a mitzvah that has cost attached to it, and you spend time and treasure, and it gives you angst and anxiety, and you toil, and you expend effort, how much more so that you're going to get amazing rewards and a long life?
Is that to say that even though Hashem hasn't expressly said that for all other that's difficult mitzvot?
Excellent. Yes, Nathan, that's what the Mishnah says. That's to say Hashem has expressed it by this lightweight mitzvah so that it be applied to all the mitzvahs. Which brings us to the question over here. If you're telling me that every single mitzvah carries with it long life, and the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein communicates exactly this, certainly with a hard mitzvah, a difficult mitzvah, an onerous and challenging mitzvah, certainly you're going to have long life with that. Kapashut, how simple would that be? If even such a light mitzvah brings up a reward like that, how much more so a heavyweight, difficult mitzvah? Oh, the Rebbe says, what's going on here? Then why do we get a separate enumeration? Oh, you should honor your father and mother. I'm like, I know that. Yes, it's a difficult mitzvah. Yes, it's a challenging mitzvah. Yes, it's a mitzvah that requires tremendous effort. But we know that already. Why does the Torah have to say it? That's a big question. That really puts a strain on the Mishnah. What is the Mishnah talking about? We'll get this later on in the book. Why did the Torah have to include it here in Aseret HaDibrot? So the Rebbe suggests that the way to understand this, to unlock this mystery...
Rabbi, there's another one, which is why say it with Shiluach HaKen. There's other simple mitzvot in the Torah too.
Okay, so that's not a so to speak, what you call the 1-2 punch question. That's not a checkmate. There are other light mitzvahs. Okay, so the Torah chose this light mitzvah. We have to understand why the Torah chose that light mitzvah. But the fact that the Torah chose one light mitzvah over another, be another, you say, why this one? Why not that one? Is it the easiest mitzvah? I don't know. But the Torah chose an easy mitzvah. But here the question is, if the Torah chose an easy mitzvah to convey that this certainly would apply to difficult and hard mitzvahs, if that case, why would the Torah have to say it over here? We know that already. So the Rebbe suggests that the key to unlocking this mystery is based on a Maimonidean foundation. Al mashmos shel avtocha, on the meaning of that promise, the promise in Shiluach HaKein, l'man yitav loch v'harachta yomim. Kosev HaRambam, the Rambam writes in Hilchus Tshuva, in the beginning of the 8th chapter, quote, Hatova hatzfuna letzadikim, the good that has been hidden away for the righteous, hi chaye ha'olam haba. This is eternity, what people call heaven. This is life that does not have the accompaniment of death. Life does not have an expiration date. This is good that has no possibility of bad. For us in the world, whatever is good has the possibility of bad. In fact, that's what we appreciate what's good, because we know it could be not good. But this reality, the future reality, the Olam Haba reality, no bad in it. It's no bad. No death, no expiration date. This is what's written in the Torah. It'll be good for you. From the oral tradition we have learned, it'll be good for you. The word yitav comes from the word tov. To a day which is all good. People say, you having a good day? People say, well, I was having a good day, except that 5 minutes of it wasn't so good. And what do you say to the person? Hey, that's a good day. Okay, like every day is going to have something that goes wrong. That's a good day. A day when you don't even have 5 minutes that are good, that's not a good day. But the day which is all good, that's the future. That's Olam Haba. And then what's Vaharachta Yomim? What's length of days? You get 24 hours, so you get a 25th hour? So then when is it long? Only after you pass 24 hours. When the game goes into overtime, you say, ah, that was a long game. When does it get long? At the end it gets long. When it goes into an 11th inning. So you say it was 9 innings, then it was a 10th inning, an 11th inning. The extra innings, that's when it got longer. But here it says, harachta yomim l'yoyim shekuli arach. It's long in the beginning, which means that it's not a quantitative difference, but a qualitative difference. So the Rebbe now asks, why did the Rambam transcribe the words l'man yitav loch v'arachta yomim in Parshas Kiseitze? Why didn't the Rambam reach for an earlier iteration of this, which is found in the same book, namely that which is found in Parshas Veschanon, l'man richon yomecho, u'l'man yitav loch? Why did the Rambam reach for a later reference when he could have had an earlier reference? Why use Parshas Veschan, Parshas Kiseitze, when you have Parshas Veschanan? Aleinu leimer efer, we must then say, Shaladas HaRambam, according to Maimonides, Yeshna hevdil ben shnei avtochas. There must be a difference between the promise of long life that's found in Parshas Veschanan and the promise of long life found in Parshas Kiseitze. A difference in the guarantee of long life for honoring our parents and the guarantee of long life for shooing away the mother bird. Mitzvahs kibud avaim, what's the difference? He mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveirei. This is a mitzvah that's between people. This is what is referred to as menschlichkeit, being a mensch. Being a mensch, your parents change your diapers. They woke up with you in the middle of the night. They took care of you, be a mensch. Now you forgot. Now you became so high and mighty. Now you're such a, as they say in Yiddish, a grace it's a leger. Now you're making your own money. You forgot that your parents once took care of you. It's menschlichkeit. Because it's a mitzvah, that's what we call interpersonal, because it governs the relationship between people, that's a kind of mitzvah that the reward comes even in the terrestrial world, this world. Why do you shoo the mother bird away? Could you be nice to a bird? No. There are no mitzvahs between people and birds. You know, relationships between people and birds. How's your relationship with people? Oh, nice. How about birds? That's no such thing. So when you're nice to a bird, why are you nice to the bird? Because Hashem said to do this. You're acting in a way which is compassionate because Hashem said you should do this. That's been adum l'makim. Mitzvahs that have been adum l'makim between you and God, where does the reward for those mitzvahs come? In olam haba. That's the difference. Mitzvahs between us and God, olam haba. Mitzvahs between us and other people, in this world. V'lochein, therefore the Rambam says, he can't quote the pasuk from Veschanon, l'man yarichon yomecho l'man yitav loch, because the mitzvah of kibud avaim has to be understood quite literally. Arichos yomim v'toyva gashmius, literally long years, literally good in this world, in a terrestrial, literal way. V'ilum hazeh, the promise with the shluach hakein, it'll be good for you. You'll have length of days. That refers liyom shekula tov. That refers liyom shekula aruch. That refers to a different reality, a different existence. And that's why the pasuk here l'man yarichon yomecho l'man yitav loch starts off with the idea of length of days. And then it talks about goodness, and we don't rely on the pasuk of Shiluach HaKein, because the pasuk of Shiluach HaKein is a verse guaranteeing heavenly reward. And this pasuk, my dear friends, guarantees you not only heavenly reward, but even earthly reward. So everybody wants to live a long life? There you got it. This is God's plan. This is God's strategy. You want to live a longer life. Nobody knows how long they're going to live. A longer life. You want to live a longer life? Kibud av ha'eim necessarily will give us a longer life and a better life. So next time you kvetch about this mitzvah, think again. And remember that in the end, the ultimate recipient is none other than you. And let me just finally conclude with the idea that kibud av ha'eim is not only during the terrestrial lifetime of parents, but even when parents pass on and live in the other world, things like saying Kaddish and memorializing their memory and speaking of them and treating their memory with respect and dignity is also a part of kibud av ha'eim. And for this, Hashem rewards us right here in Ilum Hazah HaGashmi. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us that all rewards should be seen in the flesh. And that, of course, happens when Mashiach will come and Mitzvah Hashem b'mheira will be Amenu Amen.